Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Check with each one of my dogs yesterday and make sure, and the results came back. They all love me, and I will take no further questions on it at this time. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And Chris, that's where we've got ahead now. We got Thursday Night Football with the Steelers and the Vikings. We talked to Brooke Pryor, our ESPN Steelers reporter, earlier in the show, and we're delighted to welcome in now Courtney Cronin, who covers the Vikings for us here at ESPN. And Courtney, we've been having the discussion on this show, and I want to get your perspective being around the team here. Is it premature for us, just coming off that recency of the loss to the Lions, to start to look at Kirk Cousins and wonder aloud about his future in Minnesota?
No, I don't think it is at all. I actually wrote a story about it today because this thing is coming to a head one way or another, Mike, the final five games of the season. Either Kirk falls out with a limited staff around him. We know Adam Thielen's not going to play tonight, but we have heard that Dalvin Cook is going to give this thing a go, and barring any setback, he'll be back tonight. But at what capacity? We know that they can't trust their defense to pull out a stop. It's happened. They've lost, you know, games on four drives this year where teams have marched down the field on their defense and scored. So after that Lions game, I think that you look at Kirk Cousins and you wonder, okay, what's he going to do these final five games of the season? Because if he plays really well in your Minnesota, you have to ask yourself, well, regardless of what we do with the coaching, you know, at the head coach position, whether Mike Zimmer stays, whether he goes, whatever you do at the front office, do you want Kirk Cousins in the fold for the future? Because he's got one more year on his deal, but he also comes with a $45 million cap hit next season. And that's an astronomical number, which no team is going to want to operate with. So the natural thought is to extend him. But if you're going to change direction, you might be looking towards trading him. And, you know, there's about three or four teams that you'd think off right off the bat, you know, the Steelers, the Saints, potentially Denver, even a team like the Seahawks, if they were to move on from Russell Wilson, and think, okay, maybe you can get a lot for Kirk Cousins, a first round pick, but you'd also have to, you know, find a way to move his contract because he's got a very well-negotiated contract by his agent who, you know, comes with a $35 million base salary is already guaranteed for next year. So there are a lot of moving parts with this thing, but I don't think it's out of line to be questioning, okay, what about Kirk Cousins' future in 2022 and beyond?
Courtney, you mentioned the head coach and the front office. I know a lot of people are assuming that a lot of Mike Zimmer's fate is going to be determined on what happens over the next five games, but how closely do we need to be monitoring Rick Spielman, their general manager, in terms of how impactful these games can be to his future?
I think that goes along the same lines, because the thing with Cousins is, regardless of, you know, if Zimmer, you know, what happens tonight, whatever, like, Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman are cemented to Kirk Cousins. It was their decision to bring him here in 2018 when they moved on from Teddy Bridgewater, Case Keenum, Sam Bradford, the three that they had on the roster. So I think that factors into his future too. Like, whatever happens at the quarterback position, really all three are linked together. So, and, you know, beyond that too, I mean, you've kind of been able to tell some of the subtle shots that have been, you know, taken, you know, with what Mike Zimmer said the other day, like, yeah, we don't really have a lot of depth. Well, what is that? I mean, you know, is that coaching or is that a shot at the front office? I mean, you tell me, but it does kind of feel like the two of them are linked together. So whatever would happen here in the next five games could be kind of a clean house approach, but I don't know if one will go and the other will stay. I think that either Rick Spielman could be assigned somewhere else in the front office if Mike Zimmer's not here, but I don't think that one would still be around without the other.
Canty and Golic Jr. talking to Vikings, ESPN Vikings reporter Courtney Cronin on the Goodyear Hotline. Courtney, big existential questions aside, looking at tonight's game, you mentioned Adam Thielen likely not going to be out there, Dalvin Cook going to give it a go, a number of other players from Minnesota coming back. Do you think the cavalry they have returning can offset the loss of one of their key offensive weapons?
Yeah, the Steelers team is so invested right now, right? Like, after the big win over the Ravens, and this could be Ben's last season, and, you know, they're motivated. But Vikings do have their home crowd, which it'll be really interesting to see if they don't get off to a hot start. Are they booing? And how does that affect the rest of the game? But, you get Patrick Peterson back and you get Anthony Barr and Eric Kendricks back. And certainly, you know, they were missed against Detroit on that final drive. I mean, they were limited, according to Mike Zimmer, and what they were able to do just because of the personnel that they didn't have out there. So from a defensive perspective, you'd like to think that that would help things. Offensively, though, I don't know what kind of Dalvin Cook you're going to get. Like, it seems to me like the risk of re-injury, considering he has two injured shoulders, only one that we knew about right away when he hurt it in San Francisco because he went down and had to get carted off, but reportedly had another torn labrum in the other one. So I don't know what Dalvin Cook you're going to get here. Feels like a desperation move having him play because of just like where they are. They don't want to be 5-8 because your playoff chances go to 15% at that point. And, you know, it's tough. That's tough sledding for them to try to bounce back from.
Courtney, a team that seems like they're defined by the very word of inconsistency. One of the aspects of their team that has been very consistent is Justin Jefferson. And in his second year, he's second in the National Football League in receiving yards. Just how good has this guy been, and how much of a difference have you been able to see in his performance from his rookie year to his sophomore season?
Oh, my God. I mean, he's a superstar, and I don't even think that's hyperbole saying that. He's unbelievable. Watching him take over that game in Detroit once they started targeting him, it shows you that even if Adam Thielen's out, Dalvin Cook is still going to be able to, if Kirk's willing to throw the one-on-one ball, which he has been, like, that's where Justin Jefferson can thrive because he can beat your guy. And it's been really fun to watch. Like, I love getting that question about Jefferson because he is truly a star, not just in the making. Like, he's already arrived. I mean, and I'm so excited to see, like, what's next for him because you look at his last four games, 577 receiving yards. It's the most in a stretch by any Viking in history. And he's on pace to break his own record tonight in a five-game span, which he did. He had 646 yards from weeks 9 to 13. He's probably going to top that tonight, assuming he's able to get those 70 extra yards. So it's I do feel for him in a way because it's like he had this incredible accomplishment and achievement against Detroit last week, but really wasn't able to celebrate it because they lost in such devastating fashion. But it just shows you what an X factor he can be and how he can single-handedly take over a game no matter who you're playing.
Yeah, certainly seeing the success that he's had, that Ja'Marr Chase has had, Joe Burrow's had, it makes it a lot less surprising to see how difficult life has been for LSU after all those dudes left, because that is a triple threat, to say the least. Courtney, we appreciate you giving us some time before the game tonight. Enjoy it. I'm sure we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks, guys. Take care.
Again, our ESPN Vikings reporter, Courtney Cronin, kind enough to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And it really, a lot on the line heading into Thursday Night Football. We could be watching the beginning of the end of this current iteration of the Minnesota Vikings. Want to remind you guys, tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. It's presented by Supercuts. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. But coming up next, if this next five games are important for Kirk Cousins, man, oh man, we might have to invent different words for one NFL quarterback who faces a similar task. Next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Ian Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll talk to ESPN NBA front office insider Bobby Marks. Start to weigh a couple of trade opportunities. A lot of smoke around this Damian Lillard situation. We think we got a couple of teams that we can run by Bobby that might be solid landing spots, since clearly this seems like something that is bound to happen coming up the road here soon. But before we get to that, Chris, we've talked all day about Kirk Cousins, this next five-game stretch and his future with the Minnesota Vikings. Would you say it's more dire for Baker Mayfield coming up just because of the payday? Because, man, if we're going to talk about confusing AFC North teams, the Cleveland Browns have to be at the top of the heap right now.
No question about it. And there's so much variance in terms of what version of Baker Mayfield you're going to get, right? Like, you just don't know week to week. He's been so inconsistent throughout the course of this season, and a lot of people are willing to chalk that up to the injury that he suffered on his non-throwing shoulder. But, Gojo, we know how pivotal of a year this was for him and the ramifications when it came to a long-term contract extension. Like, he checked the box in terms of being able to lead the team to the playoffs and winning a playoff game last year, but people wanted to know, could he be a quarterback that could command the kind of salary that you would expect for a guy that was the former number one overall pick back in 2018? Like, is he going to ascend to a level production wise where you could justify paying him on average annual value somewhere in the high 30s or maybe even low 40s. And we just haven't seen that guy this season. So, yeah, I think there are a lot of questions about Baker Mayfield, and the last five games are going to go a long ways into the Cleveland Browns being able to answer whether or not they need to have any degree of urgency in terms of addressing his contract with the organization long term this offseason. Like, Baker Mayfield has got to prove that he can grab this team by the throat and be able to carry them to the playoffs. Can he be the difference in terms of them being able to win a game? Not the run game, not the offensive line, but his right arm, can that be the difference in terms of his team being able to win the game down the stretch against teams that are playoff contenders? If you look at their final five games, four of those games are against teams with winning records, Gojo, and teams that have playoff aspirations. So this is a big show-improve moment for Baker Mayfield. I think the last five games of this season are ultimately going to amount to a referendum on whether or not he should be Cleveland's long-term quarterback.
Yeah, Chris, I just think we still have a really strong chance at the sample size and the grade coming back incomplete because the guy is very clearly hurt, right? Like, what we've seen from him was that loud protest, hey, I am playing through his agents or whoever else with these specific injuries in my non-throwing shoulder. And we know that hasn't gotten better. We've clearly seen him bothered by it. And so as we go down the stretch, like you mentioned, the coming up, it's a run through the division. Like, he gets to go through the AFC North again. And I know this is a giant chaos ball of a group, but most of them have defenses that look like they're built to bother a quarterback who's hurt. And I've seen nothing from him physically, Chris, that indicates he's going to be able to go out and answer that question with anything in the affirmative.
Yeah, and having no Jack Conklin doesn't help his cause either. So that's a problem. But, yeah, I'm with you 1,000%. And when it comes to Baker, like, we have all these questions about the leadership intangibles that he's actually bringing to the table. Like, can he galvanize the locker room? And we saw the issue that happened earlier this season that led to OBJ being moved to the Rams. Like, this is a situation where now people are starting to call not only his physical talent into question, but his ability to be the face of a franchise and his ability to be able to lead the guys in that locker room. And I got to say, Gojo, some of the things that we've seen coming out from him the last couple of weeks, it doesn't instill a whole lot of confidence that he's going to be that guy moving forward. It just doesn't. I mean, from him walking away from the podium after the Lions game to his wife putting stuff out there to defend his toughness and basically throwing the toughness of the rest of the team under the bus, you know, just making the excuses and making it be known that he's injured, where we see the contrast with what Matt Stafford did and not making any excuses about his poor performance with the Rams of recent. Like, there are a lot of things that you have to question when it comes to Baker Mayfield's style, his overall swag, and how that fits the football philosophy and the culture that Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry want for their team. Right now, the returns on that are not what you're looking for and not what people in Cleveland were expecting this season.
No, I think from that standpoint, Chris, everything you just mentioned there, it's a net negative on what Baker came into the season charged with, right? This was a bet on yourself. For all the talk we've had about Kirk Cousins, the bet on yourself all-star for the Minnesota Vikings, this was the bet on yourself year for Baker Mayfield. We saw Josh Allen get paid this offseason, and Baker and Lamar Jackson walk into this year without deals. And if you're Baker Mayfield right now, I know he's brought up the injury, but everything else that you just mentioned, that looks like something that just brought the cost down. That looks like the Cleveland Browns getting closer and closer to if he is their long-term answer. And now that feels like more of an if than it did before the season, Chris, with all the off-the-field stuff. Now you're talking about him at a much more manageable price for that team.
Yeah, no question. But I don't even think this is a situation where you're looking for a discount. I think this is a situation where you got to go year to year. Like, I've almost taken that approach. Like, I'm not
not a deal this offseason.
I'm not ready to lock into a long-term contract. I'm going to play out the string with this thing with Baker Mayfield, and we'll figure out the rest of it. Like, I mean, this is one of those, let's play out the fifth-year option, and then we'll see where we go after that. And if I got a franchise tag you, then I'm going to do that. But I'm going to afford myself enough time to get a large enough sample size to determine what you are or what you aren't. And right now, based on what's happened this season and the injury portion of it, not to mention the other stuff when it comes to locker room chemistry, like you said, we have to give him a grade of incomplete. I don't think that Andrew Berry can make any definitive determination. And when you look at the potential options that would be out there for the Cleveland Browns in terms of trying to upgrade, I don't know that there's necessarily an obvious answer on that front. So, yeah, I think they're going to be saddled with Baker Mayfield as their starter in 2022, but I don't know if that necessarily means he's going to be their long-term quarterback.
Chris, I had this stuck in my craw all day, and it's obvious because of the Kevin Stefanski connection, but like, quality-wise, the price is going to be very different, but quality-wise, I mean, would we be talking about Kirk Cousins as an upgrade from Baker Mayfield if you were to get him over there, right?
Well, I don't have to worry about all the noise if Kirk Cousins is my quarterback, right? Yeah. I don't know what the potential is, the growth potential is beyond what he already is as a quarterback. I don't know what that represents in terms of my team and how far we can go with Cousins as my quarterback. But I'll tell you this, I don't have to worry about all of the noise with Baker Mayfield, and I don't have to worry about the commercials. I don't have to worry about, you know, him rubbing certain teammates the wrong way. I don't have to worry about any of that with Kirk Cousins. So that is a legitimate question to ask, whether or not the Cleveland Browns would be better off with Kirk Cousins over Baker Mayfield. Because to this point right now, I mean, it's clear who the more productive quarterback is. That's Kirk Cousins.
Yes, he has been productive. He has been consistent. I would hesitate to do this if I was Cleveland just because, again, you'd be asking Kirk Cousins to do what you've seen he cannot. Like, I can't imagine you'd be bringing him there as a stopgap quarterback for that franchise, because you've got, if you want to do that and play that game to try and find something better on the other side, you could do that with Baker for cheaper, and the results will only be minimally lesser if he's fully healthy, in my mind. So it's where we're at with Baker, though. Like, I couldn't have imagined entertaining that thought heading into this season, even through the first quarter of the season, Chris, but we have arrived there very quickly, partially because of injury, partially because of everything else involved in that equation. Coming up next, though, complicated equation out in the Pacific Northwest. Damian Lillard and his future with the Trailblazers. We will crunch the numbers on some deals that could get him in a different uniform with Bobby Marks next. We'll do that after this word from Indeed. Now, running your own business requires a lot of running around. From bookkeeping to client meetings, you run it all. By the time you need to hire, you've run out of energy. Luckily, with Indeed Instant Match, you immediately receive a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed are going to match the job description the moment you sponsor a job. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all the other job sites combined. Hiring can finally run smoothly with Indeed. To learn more, visit Indeed.com/credit. Back after this, Candy and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Candy and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Candy. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And we've talked so much about Damian Lillard, the will he, won't he going out in Portland. Let's talk to someone who's been involved in potential deals like this. ESPN NBA front office insider Bobby Marks joins us now on the Goodyear Hotline. And Bobby, we've seen all this conversation. We've heard from Damian Lillard. I guess just first and foremost, from everything you've seen surrounding this situation and a player that we've tried to trade plenty of times in the past, do you think this really is starting to look like the end of the road for Dame in Portland?
Well, I think it's the end of the road if he wants it to be. And right now, you know, he's been very upfront. He was upfront this offseason, you know, where basically he wanted to see changes. You know, he came out yesterday and said that he didn't want to be traded and that he wanted to be part of the solution, you know, not to be the guy, you know, as far as being traded here. I think as this team continues to lose, and I think they will, certainly with CJ out, I think you're going to be at a fork in the road. And is it, you know, Dame back? Is it CJ, Robert Covington, Jokic Nurkic? Are those the three guys that you're going to look to move? And I've been pretty much out front about it. And I respect Damian Lillard a lot. And I know there's the loyalty factor. And I think it's time. I think it's time for Portland to move Lillard. I think it's time for them to hit a major reboot here. I think he's got tremendous value around the league. I think his contract, because he's got 4 years left on it. I know everyone's been talking about this extension for next year. I don't I'm not really concerned about that right now from that standpoint. But I think if you're looking from Portland's perspective, you could get a restart here, and I think it would start with Damian Lillard.
And that's the thing, Bobby, because you mentioned that it feels like the organization is going through transition. They moved on from Terry Stotts last year. They're moving on from their general manager this year because of the controversy, the scandal involved with that. It feels like this is a natural opportunity for Portland to just strip it all the way down to the studs and move on from Dame. And I wanted to ask you from a team-building standpoint, how much of this decision should be left up to Dame? I know that they want to give him the latitude to determine what he wants to do with his future, but just from the club's perspective, it seems like it makes more sense for them to trade him rather than to hold on to him.
I totally agree. I think the wild card a little bit here is, you know, they've got an interim GM in Joe Cronin. How much of a say, you know, does he have when it comes to Lillard? I think it's a little bit different with the other three players as far as from a trade standpoint, especially if he's not the guy, you know, to take over. And will there be a full-time, you know, GM when we get to the trade deadline in early February here? But I've been part of it. Jason was a little bit older, Jason Kidd in New Jersey here, and we just got to a point where, you know, it was kind of, you know, to move on. I think with Damian here, he doesn't have a no-trade clause. There's nobody in the league that does. Would you work with him as far as figuring out what the next destination is going to be, whether it be New York or Philadelphia? I think the hard part is that what happens if there's a team not of his liking where it's the right trade package? And that's kind of where you've got to figure out what's the best for the organization or what's the best for Damian Lillard.
Kane and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Candy talking to Bobby Marks, our ESPN NBA front office insider. And Bobby, we've seen a number of potential trade partners floated around, put out on ESPN.com here. The Philadelphia 76ers were one of those teams here. Do you think a trade package without Ben Simmons could be a realistic opportunity to try and draw Dame to Philadelphia?
It should. I mean, we wrote about it. We had five trades that we would like to see, and that was the one. That's the one I had without Ben Simmons. And I think if you're Portland and you don't want to do a full scale rebuild, because rebuilding is hard. I mean, I've been part of it, and accumulating draft assets. You know, it's you got to get a lot of luck here, and you got to catch a couple breaks here. I think you can retool if you're looking at not Ben Simmons. I think if you can look at guys like Tobias Harris and Tyrese Maxey and Matisse Thybulle, players like that where you can still be competitive, maybe there's a draft pick around, and then you can figure out what you want to do with the other players, whether it be McCollum and Covington and Nurkic, guys like that. And I think from Philadelphia's standpoint, then you take Simmons and then you kind of replenish the depth that you just lost here. So I think there's a way to do it without Ben Simmons. We'll see if that's, you know, to the liking of both sides, if we ever do get there. And that's kind of more my mindset than just trading him and getting, you know, three unprotected ones and pick swaps and stuff like that, because it's so hard to rebuild in this league.
Bobby, I'm looking at the .com article that you guys published a couple of days ago, and I see that there are two teams in the Western Conference in Minnesota and Sacramento where there was a proposed trade. But I wanted to ask you, could you see a dark horse Western Conference contender that would be interested in making a move for Dame?
Yeah, I think it's hard. You know, the contenders, I think there's so much separation between, with Phoenix. The other thing, Chris, is that this league is so heavy. It's a point guard league, right? There are so many teams that have quality point guards, whether it be, you know, Chris Paul in Phoenix and Mike Conley in Utah and, certainly Steph in Golden State, teams like that. And then I think there's just so much separation there between where they are and then where everyone else is. And I think if you are teams, like you mentioned, Minnesota, Sacramento, similar to what we went through in New Jersey with Deron Williams. You know, Deron Williams really didn't want to come to New Jersey, but we went out and got him because we treated him like he would be a free agent that we couldn't go out and get. So if it's Sacramento or Minnesota that would have no chance getting Lillard if he was a free agent, I think those are the teams that you could probably, you know, focus in on.
Going to be very interesting to see if any of this does come to reality here soon, and if Portland really does finally turn the page on the guy who's been the face of that franchise, even though the rest of us have been trying to get him out of there for years. Bobby, we always appreciate the time and the insight. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. All right, coming up next, the Green Bay Packers may not have a true owner, but one of their players still believes he's fit to do the job in Chicago. We will see why Aaron Rodgers continues to double down on his Bears slander next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Kenny and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canny. Just, by the way, basking in the glow of, have you guys seen the HBO cover of the Los Angeles Lakers, Chris? Devin, is this a limited series that they're getting ready to do documenting the Los Angeles Lakers here? It's like the fictional recounting of this. So you've got like John C. Reilly in this one playing Jerry Buss and Adrian Brody playing Pat Riley. You think Pat Riley signed off on that one, Chris?
I don't know if Pat Riley signed off on that one. I'm just saying, I don't know if that's the best look for Pat Riley.
Yeah.
Just go put it out there. Yeah. Feel like they need to put more respect on Pat Riley with this one.
It just didn't seem like the look right there. Like, why am I blanking on Buddy's name right now? Bradley Cooper was right there. Seemed like he would have been a much better Pat Riley comp in all of this. So they're going to have to get some casting things right in here. But either way, looking forward very much to that one here as we get ready for even more coverage of some of the best franchises in sports. But Chris, I can't help but be drawn to disrespect, and Aaron Rodgers has been dealing out copious amounts of that petty here. Aaron Rodgers, the Green Bay Packers quarterback, at their press conference this week, as they get ready to, you know, face the Chicago Bears once again and do that whole thing, talked about the comments he made to a Bears fan where he said, "I still own you," and asked if he was worried about anything coming off of that. And let's just say, didn't sound like it.
I don't know that you can question a whole lot of what I said. You know, we've had a good record over the years against them and won a lot of games in Soldier Field and at Lambeau Field. So it's been a great rivalry. I'm proud to be a part of it. You know, we have gotten the better of them the last, 27, 28 times we played them for the most part. But, you know, I'm sure a lot of times in situations like this, the trash talk is only able to be used if you're getting after that individual that was trash talking. So in order to trash talk, you have to have a lot of confidence in what you accomplished and what you're going to accomplish in the future. At some point, what I said will be used against me. That's just part of it. But I have no regrets for saying what I said. And obviously, I think the record kind of speaks for itself.
Well, Chris, that last part really drives it home. Like, we flirted with the line for a little bit, but he really decided to twist the knife in there at the end, and quite honestly, I can't blame him.
Yeah, just the level of disrespect, though, Gojo. Like, that's the part that this is a quarterback going up against a team that he's got a 22-5 record against. So I understand why he has so much confidence. But he's not even shy in letting them know about it. Like, he doesn't care that he's giving them bulletin board material. It doesn't matter. And then just hearing Matt Nagy's response when he was asked the question this week about whether or not his team was aware of the comments that Aaron Rodgers has made regarding what he did to them in that matchup in Soldier Field. And he said, yeah, we know about it. Like, it just feels like you got to have a little more venom. You got to have your stinger up a little bit more when you talk about how you want to deal with Aaron Rodgers in that commentary, just because you can't allow a quarterback to feel that comfortable about matching up against you every single time, especially a quarterback that's in your division.
Oh, man, this is tough. Chicago safety Tashawn Gibson said the Bears aren't necessarily using those remarks as bulletin board material. The quote said, "We can't control that's how he feels. All we can do is just go out there and control what we do Sunday night. That's our focus right now." And Chris,
man, go ahead and miss me with that, Gojo. That sounds like a defeatist attitude. You know what that sounds like? That sounds like somebody that's already conceded that this season has gone sideways on them, and right now they're just checking off the weeks on the calendar until they can go on vacation. Like, them guys sound like they already shipping the cars home, cuz. Like, that's what it feels like when you say something like that. Cuz I couldn't imagine a quarterback that I was playing that upcoming week having the gall to go out there and say something like that after he did what he did in our home stadium earlier in the regular season. Like, once upon a time, you would talk about this as being one of those red dot situations, and the veterans in the locker room, especially on the defensive side of the ball, standing up and saying, I got five on it, meaning 5,000 for knocking him out of the game. Like, that's the kind of attitude that you would have players from yesteryear approaching this week with when you have a quarterback come out there and say something like that. I'm not condoning bounties. I'm not encouraging bounties. I'm just saying what the NFL was once upon a time. And for Aaron Rodgers to feel comfortable in saying what he said this week after doing what he did and beating y'all earlier in the season, there ain't no way you're supposed to let that slide.
This is the NFL that Roger Goodell and the competition committee wanted with all this protection for quarterbacks, because if they weren't so protected with all those flags, he wouldn't feel safe enough to say this. Because, Chris, there is a definitive difference. Like, Aaron Rodgers talked about all the things that go into trash talking here. One of them is, in a lot of cases, a different world when you are writing a check that you have to go physically cash. It's the one thing I've always said about football, is it is a different level of physical accountability than any other sport, because when I mess up as an offensive lineman, my buddy gets smoked in the backfield, bad usually, by someone with bad intentions here. For Aaron Rodgers, it is one thing, Chris, if you're going out there and talking smack and you're going to be in the mix. This is a guy that plays a position that wears a different color jersey in practice, so he doesn't got to get touched. So you absolutely have to feel some type of way about this and respond in kind if you're one of the people that actually has to hit folks for a living.
And he's also a guy, might I add, Gojo, that's dealing with a pinky toe injury as well. So, I mean, listen, at a minimum as a defensive lineman, if I'm near Aaron Rodgers, I'm stomping on one of them feet. I might not know which pinky toe it is, but by the end of the game, I'm going to get both of them.
Like, that's the kind of situation it has to be. It's still a good situation then. Missing is not bad there, because you know what's better than one pinky toe beat up? Two pinky toes beat up.
Absolutely right. And here's the other thing, man. Listen, you got to stand up and say, I don't care whether or not the NFL flags me. I don't care whether or not the NFL fines me and I got a FedEx in my locker the week after. None of that matters. You know what does matter? Pride. Like that's one of those things that you absolutely have to hang your hat on, especially when it comes to this time of the year and knowing that your team is probably not going to make the playoffs. You can go out there and make a statement about who you're going to be and what you are going to allow. And right now, the guys on the Chicago Bears defense, they got to stand up after Aaron Rodgers did this. There is no way that they can let something like this ride, Gojo. No chance. I remember when I came over to the New York Giants and playing in that NFC East rivalry with the team that drafted me in the Dallas Cowboys, I had former teammates that were talking a lot of trash leading up to those games. And I said, for all of the things you guys say, I'm going to make Tony Romo pay. And I remember the first time I hit Tony Romo, I got flagged. And I got fined $15,000, and I remember looking at Tony after I hit him, and I said, that was money well spent. I feel like the defenders for the Chicago Bears need to have that same approach when it comes to hitting Aaron Rodgers this week.
As LeBron James famously says, anytime things go wrong, some things are just bigger than basketball. Sometimes you got to go and take these matters into your own hands. And quite honestly, after we say all that, there are still few quarterbacks as good as getting themselves away from those moments as Aaron Rodgers. That is going to be a tremendously frustrating game, even for the angriest of the Chicago Bears, because that man, even on a bad toe, is still out here playing some of the baddest football on the whole damn planet. So Aaron Rodgers still very firmly in control of the situation with the Chicago Bears. We will see if any of his pinky toes are made to pay for that this weekend. But coming up next, as we near some historic marks for one of the NBA's best shooters, do we get to reignite the conversation around Steph Curry, and is he a top 10 player of all time? We book it next here on Candy and Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.